After a week like this, I don't know how people manage without Jesus Christ. And in fact, if you are here today and do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, I challenge you to put your trust in Him. You never know what a day may bring forth. You never know if you're going to live till the next day. Put your trust in Him. I've had a problem with a leaky faucet this last few days. And I'm going to have a talk with my dad about that. I used to make fun of my dad. He'd watch Little House on the Prairie and be sitting there bawling. You know, here was this man that drove bulldozers and made roads in upstate New York, and yet he was always very tender-hearted. And I think I picked up a little bit from him. Sometimes I wish I was a little more hard-shelled so it wouldn't hurt so much. But I love people, and I love the Campbell family, and just I guess that just sort of, you know, wells out in you as you think about dealing with individuals. 2 Corinthians. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. This is the passage that I kept thinking about yesterday as I'm getting another phone call or dealing with another email or text. I felt like a press secretary yesterday, and this is the passage that kept coming to my mind, the God of all comfort. And these are some precious verses. In fact, I think the third of all the verses that really talk or deal with comfort in the New Testament are dealt with in these seven verses, the first seven verses. And we're only going to deal with verses 3 and 4 and verses 8 through 11. And I'm not going to really deal with it in an expositional kind of a way. I'm just going to share this in a family talk because I need these words, and I trust that you will find help and comfort in them as well. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, and then we'll be looking at 8 through 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, or Father of compassion, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, verse 8, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised from the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also might help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Father, we need Your help this morning. Comfort us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. The drive to the hospital on, it would be yesterday morning, was probably one of the longest drives I've ever had. What do you say? I've been in the ministry for 30 years, but what do you say to a dad and mom who just lost their only son? What do you say to a young wife who is expecting in June who has lost her husband? And then all the other family members. And to boot, I was in tears myself all the way there. I was breathing, man, I was breathing heavy. God help me. God help me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. All the way there. In case you ever wondered whether pastors get involved with people and get emotional too, we do. Believe me, it's really hard. But all kinds of questions came through my mind. All the hurt, all the pain of seeing people go through it. How in the world do you handle it? The Apostle Paul was a man who knew a lot about pressures and problems and suffering. In fact, can you imagine after the Lord saved him, he said, now, I want to tell you something. You're going to face a lot of persecution. You're going to face a lot of tragedy. So just get ready to deal with it. Well, we see a little bit of that in verses 8 through 11 as he's kind of telling some of his personal story about what he had experienced. In fact, what I find about 2 Corinthians that's encouraging here, it's almost a letter where Paul kind of talks a little bit more personally about some of the things he had faced, kind of opening up a little more. Sometimes we look at the Apostle Paul and we see that type A personality and we just see him as the hard-driving apostle with not much feeling. dealing with churches and telling them what they had to do. But I see this as a very personal letter that Paul wrote to be passed around. And he's here giving some great comfort in the midst of his challenges and saying, this is how you deal with life when the bottom falls out. In fact, in verse 8, as it talks about, he says, we've experienced affliction. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Verse 9, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. You can just sense the weight of the ministry and the weight of persecution that had been on his shoulders. He was pressed out of measure. He was buckling under the weight, the awesome weight that it was on his shoulders. The trials that God had given to him were beyond his ability to cope on his own. He was without strength. He couldn't take it anymore at times. He was despairing even of life. He was at the end of his rope. J.B. Phillips translated one of these verses like this: We were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. I believe that that's what the Campbell family is going through now, and maybe what you're experiencing, wondering how do you handle, how do we move on from this time forward. This passage, again, is a great passage of comfort. The word comfort itself is wonderful. The word comfort comes from a word that means parakaleo, or to come alongside. God is a God of all comfort. God is a God who comes alongside those who are grieving and who are hurting. And so this morning I want to give you, it's got to be 3 points or it isn't a sermon, okay? So the first point would be, God is the source of all real comfort. Verse 3, God is the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the source of true comfort. Many people need comfort, but they don't know where to go. Many seek for comfort, but they do it in the wrong places. Some try to drown out their grief through alcohol or drugs. Some will try to just complain their way through it, and they get angry at life and get angry at God and just stomp around and find fault with God and find fault with others. Or some go like into themselves and become recluses. I would like to challenge you this morning, in your grief, run to God. God is a God who comes alongside those who are grieving. There we find true comfort. He is the Father of compassion, or the Father of mercies. Run to Him. Plead with Him. Tell Him what's on your heart. He wants to know about it. He wants to come alongside you. I can't help but think about it. I have 3 boys, and I was up at night when my wife couldn't take it anymore, the crying or whatever. I would wrap one of my boys in my arms, and I would walk the floor. And I would tend to him, and I would care for him, and I would rock many nights like that, trying to be a father of compassion and one who understood what his son was going through, tried to be compassionate for my wife as she was going through that. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father does a much better job. He knows, He is the perfect Father who knows exactly what we need, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I kind of picture in my mind a fellow walking down the road, stooped over with a heavy load on his back. He's tired, weary, it's hot. And as you watch him bending lower and lower through the weight that he's carrying, you can't take it any longer. You say, I need to help that fellow before he falls. That's our God coming alongside us when we're ready to fall, when we're ready to throw in the towel. And he says, child, hang in there. Stay by the stuff. Let me read some verses of Scripture that have brought great comfort to me through this time. Here it is. These are some verses. And we could share many more about how God is a God of all comfort. Deuteronomy 3:22, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you, as Israel was facing their enemies. Deuteronomy 31, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. Psalm 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 71, verse 5, for you have been my hope, sovereign God, my confidence since I was young. Psalm 86, verse 17, give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. A few more. Psalm 119, 76, may your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Isaiah 12, 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He is my salvation. Lamentation 3, verse 25, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. And then Micah 7, 7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God, who will hear me. He will deliver me. Run to God as your source of strength and your source of hope and your comfort. He will give you what you need. Second, God has an endless supply of comfort available for everyone. Verse 4 says this, who comforts us in all of our affliction. Whenever you have affliction, God is able to comfort. And to think about all the ones that are grieving today over this situation, God is big enough for the task. His comfort is available for all without any slack. He has an ample supply that will never run dry. I can't help but think about the time I was walking in Yosemite National Park with a group of us and family members and back in the wilderness. We planned our trip to be along at certain days near waterways, and so we would have ample supply of water. And we'd fill up our jugs, and we would take care of the water, make sure to purify it through a filter. But we had read up a lot, because there are some times of the year when certain areas did not have ample water, and so you had to make plans. You have to plan your travels and your hiking very carefully. We all have ample supply of God's comfort. He gives us whatever we need, whenever we need it. God's comfort is available in abundant supply, but let me ask you a question. How do you get that comfort? How do you get comfort from someone who can supply it, an ample supply? You have to go to him. You have to run to him and ask for that in your time of need. He will not force himself on you. God will not come along and just say, okay, whether you want it or not, here's your comfort. No, in your times of grief, run to him and he will be your supply. We see that God is the source of all comfort. God has an endless supply. And third, God expects us to be sharing the comfort we received with others. Notice what it says in verse 4. Who comforts us in all of our affliction, this God of all comfort, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I believe God has a purpose in the midst of our trials. When we find His grace is sufficient, when we find His comfort is immeasurable, we then need to take it and share it with others. Sometimes the afflictions that come our way soften our hearts and we see how God has ministered to us and then we are better able to minister to others. I can see that in some of you in this room. Some of you have walked through deep waters. And you know what? It softened your heart, and you are so much better able to minister to others. That is what we are called upon to do at this time. Don't allow the trials that have come to harden us, to go off and to just find another reason to get angry against God and to be bitter. God wants us to be comforted, and then He wants us to be comforters. Let me read several quotes that I found very helpful. The comfort God provides through Christ is not for our private consumption. John Jowett says this, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Our comfort is designed to be shared. I don't know what God may be doing in our church family, but I have a feeling He's preparing us for more ministry opportunities. One of the things that I read the most yesterday was, how can we be used? What can we do? I feel so helpless. What can we do? Let us know ways that we can be used. That is the best place to be. And I believe there's going to be a time over the next few days when we can unleash the comfort we have been receiving from God to others. We all need to pour out our love and support to the Campbell family, but there's going to be others in our life. Not beyond this trial, I believe in our community there are many people that are hurting. I don't know exactly all the problems. Of course, there are so many. But there's people out there that desperately need you as a body of New Life Baptist Church. And so God may be preparing us for future ministry. And He's saying, I want to hone you. I want to shape you. I want to prepare you for greater ministry. You see, He may not have a teaching responsibility or a preaching responsibility for you, but He's got a caring and a comforting opportunity for you, waiting for you in the future, if you allow this trial to help you and to find comfort in God to be used in others' lives. We need special eyes for the needs of others around us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Some wonderful words about our Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever wondered what God was like, just look at Jesus. He tabernacled among us. He set up His tent among us. And we see what God is like. And there we find, and I got to find it myself, Matthew chapter 9, we find an interesting glimpse into the heartbeat of God as we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in verse 20, let's see, now let's go to verse 35. As we look at Jesus' life, we see His compassion and His tenderness and the comfort that He had. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And here's verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, when He saw them, and there was a mixture of crowds, there was the wealthy, there was the sick, the poor, the blind, all of them. Some, the religious leaders that were looking for ways to get Him in trouble so that they could kill Him. But there were people that were searching. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers into His harvest fields." And I believe after Jesus pointed out to His disciples, look around you men, all the needs, these are needy people. These are people that have great need of comfort and what we can offer them. He said, open your eyes, men, the laborers are few. And He said, pray about it. And so I believe as those disciples, they began praying, God, send out laborers to minister to these people that are in need. Notice the next chapter is the one where He calls His disciples. These very ones that were praying that God would send out laborers, they then said, I'll be the one to go out there. I'll be the one to step up and be the comforter. And I'm wondering if God may be preparing you for ministry through this deep trial and tragedy in our church family. Maybe He wants to use you to minister to that neighbor that is really going through a rough time. And He's opening our eyes to opportunities before us. You may say, well, Pastor, what do I do? That's the same question I asked when I was driving on the way to the hospital. I was saying, what do you say? What kind of words of wisdom can I give? And you know what I concluded? I don't have anything to say. I just need to be there. Yesterday, as I left our time together with Ev and Al and some of the other family members, Al, he was just saying, Pastor, thanks for all you've done. And I'm going, I didn't do anything. I was just there. And then it dawned upon me, that's what we need to do. We just need to be there. I recalled the time when Jason had been born and hooked up to everything imaginable in the ICU, 3,000 miles away. I was actually 10,000 miles away in Hong Kong. And I remember just, visiting my son there in the critical ICU and not understanding what was all going on, didn't know what that would mean for me and our future. And I went back home and I was just kind of feeling just numb about everything. And who came to the door, and I've shared this before, but Dr. Ambacker. Dr. Ambacker knocked on the door, opened that door, and if you know Dr. Ambacker, Dr. Ambacker is a brilliant man and a wonderful preacher, but he's a shy guy. And he, you know what? He didn't say anything. He didn't know what to say. He just came over, wrapped his arms around me, and just said, I'm here for you. That said more than a book would ever say, more than 10,000 words could ever say. And folks, that's what we need to first of all do with the Campbell family and with Elaine Jordan, with the Farmer family, with the Colby family. We need to wrap our arms around them and assure them that we're there for them in whatever way we can help. But that's the kind of spirit that we need to have in our community. May we never lose sight of the needs that are all around us. And Jesus says, open up your eyes. You have been comforted by your God. You have salvation through Jesus Christ. You have eternity in heaven with Him. Open your eyes. Be a comforter now. Share what you have with others. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You that You're the God of all comfort. May You comfort Your people today. And may they then in turn be sharers of that comfort with others. Thank You for the ample supply. Thank You that You never run dry. You are an awesome, awesome God. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.